get through it all, but we will, Lord willing, then pick up some of it again this evening. And what I would like to do this morning is to carry on a little bit in the discussion of Peter's life. This is one of the final instances in Peter's life with his lessons from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may or may not recall that we have spent just a short period of time, I suppose, traveling through some of the main events, if I can put it that way, in Peter's life. His call, and then, of course, his walking on the water. There is that meaningful passage as well that we learn so much from, of his forsaking the Lord Jesus Christ. We find in Luke 24 of his forgiveness that he received from the Lord. And then we find here certainly three things that are lessons that are to all the disciples and in Peter's life as well. Three things we'll see in this passage. Fishing. You need to know how to fish. Some people are great fishermen, whether on the sea or on the side of a brook. Well, this isn't so much about catching literal fish, although there are in this passage. The Lord Jesus Christ said, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. And truly that's what we want to be as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be fishers of men for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel, for their souls. And all fish don't come to the same bait, but they do need to come to the same master. So then there's not only fishing, there's then feeding. And the Lord Jesus Christ uses some poignant message and some poignant questions in Peter's life and talking with regards to feeding the flock. And we'll consider that, Lord willing, as well. And then, of course, there is following. You know, if there weren't any followers, there would be no leaders. I was listening to a message or a program the other day, and they were talking about leadership. And they were saying how we need great leaders, and this is the way to get great leaders, or you need to buy this book to be a great leader, and all of these things. And there was a question posed, and I suppose it was very telling in many ways. If everybody was a leader, there would be no followers. And we all must be followers, and certainly followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, forsaking all to follow him. And we looked at that when Peter was called, didn't we? It says when they came to that end of the message or the account in Matthew's gospel there where he was calling Peter to the work, and it would say that Peter, on the best day of fishing they had, there was three of them, they forsook their nets, they left all, and they followed him. So there's that message in this passage as well. So we're going to read John chapter 21, and certainly if you have brought your Bible along with you, I would invite you to read that. And it's interesting that we are reminded, or I would remind you, and I am reminded this morning, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you know, I would apply that most times in my own life, and my own work, I suppose, for the Lord, of the gospel. And it's certainly true. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But five times in the word of God, it's mentioned that we are to live by faith. So it's no different for you and I. Faith cometh by hearing. Faith for living comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And it's interesting sometimes, I remember a man who spoke, and he was talking about mission work, and he said, you know, he didn't say faith, he used the word grace, but grace for living in Africa is when you get to Africa. But there has to be that development of that faith in one's life. We talked about Abraham a little bit this morning in the first meeting. Abraham didn't all of a sudden have faith to offer up his son Isaac. I think it was a growth thing. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you are to be commended this morning to come and to listen to the word of God. Not to me, but to the word of God as we look to what the Lord would have to say to us this morning. John chapter 21 and verse 1 we read, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. On this wise he showed himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and the two other of his disciples. So there were seven in total. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, 300 feet, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, 153, for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples dared ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, Yes, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he had said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter turned about, seeing the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Sorry, I need to reread that to make more better sense of it in my own mind. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Let's ask God's blessing again upon his word. Our Father, we bow again in thy presence and we thank you for your eternal word and for the eternal purposes of God which has made it possible that we should be redeemed, purchased back, purchased out of the slave market of sin to a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask our Father this morning for understanding of your word, an appreciation of what you would have us to understand here this morning, and then, Father, to be obedient to it. We pray for souls to be saved. We pray, Father, for saints to be uplifted and encouraged and to be followers, certainly, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, in everything, we ask that Jesus Christ would be made very high and lifted up, and may he, Father, be seen, the glorified one here this morning, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It must have been a miraculous or a marvelous event or events when the Lord Jesus Christ would come alongside his disciples during their life and speak to them. And he would share with them some meaningful appreciation of the person of himself and of the mind of God. These men of whom we will speak here this morning would be witnesses of some of the most miraculous, or perhaps the most miraculous events that have ever transpired in the earth. the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living, breathing Son of God, the sacrificial death and the glorious resurrection. And in all of this, those 3 years as they would walk alongside of him, it would become somewhat, I suppose, a normal thing. I think sometimes as Christians we allow there to be a normalcy in our lives. That we have this idea and appreciation that this is just the way things are, and we lose fact and appreciation for the Son of God himself and his work in our life. His work for us, yes, on Calvary, but his continued work through the Spirit of God, as he would have told these men a few short days previously, I'm going away. And if I go, I will send another one. I'll send a comforter, and he will guide you into all truth. He'll speak not of himself. He'll speak that which he hears, and he'll lead them into truth. And as great as all of that would have been, and how we would long as Christians to be there, right? Would you not want to be there and to walk alongside those dusty roads? Would we not want to go through those cold nights maybe in the garden with the Lord? Would we want to be, as I'm certain it was the case, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees would be rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, or they would be criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples were there, and they would stand perhaps in some way, not being rejected as the Son of God, but they were associated. You remember in Acts 4, when they, after Pentecost, the religious leaders recognized or noted that they had been with Jesus. I think sometimes we would rather not be in those types of circumstances. But here we have, as the author of the Word of God here has told us, the third time that the Lord shows himself to them after he had risen from the dead. You've often heard it said, and maybe you have been privy sometimes, to the final words of an individual on this earth. Some of the last words, and they say some of the last words are perhaps some of the most important words an individual will ever speak. As we come down to realizing our own frailty, our own end, as it were, as far as on this earth goes, if we have something we want to pass on, we certainly should share it, and quite often do. But here is one who's not in death. Here is one who has risen from the dead. Here is the lovely, eternal Son of God who steps alongside them on a seashore one day. Again, interesting, the Lord chose some of these places to do some of his teaching. They weren't in places like this, necessarily, the synagogue of the day. They were out in the air. Everyday things going on, practical lessons being learned, and teaching being brought to the mind and bear upon the lives of individuals. As for these seven individuals, they headed off for the Sea of Galilee. And these seven men being together, it's interesting. I think one thing that we should first of all take out of mentioning all this is that it's good to be Christian co-workers. They didn't just divide when the Lord Jesus was crucified. They didn't run off into all their separate areas after he had risen from the dead and said, well, our leader is gone, so to speak. We'll just go and do our own thing. No, they found that there was fellowship, there was a unity, something that binds them together. My question, I suppose, to you and I this morning in that part would be, do we find that in our own lives? You know, the Word of God has gone to great lengths. In the English language, it uses different words even to describe our fellowship one with the other. Communion. Fellowship. Partnership. These words that are used to describe our coming together, our association. And finally, John would tell us that our fellowship truly is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. It's good. The Word of God even comes to the point of saying, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. It's good to come together. It's good to be workers together. We don't all have to do the same work. But we should all be involved as being workers together. Some people are in the Awana program. Some people are in the youth group. Some people occupy this platform. Some are whatever it is. Camp work, all of these things. Workers together. These men stayed together. They had a desire. What took them to the Sea of Galilee? Peter would say, I go fishing. I often wondered about that in my own study and consideration of this. Was it the fact he missed fishing? Could be. He may have missed going out on the waters of the Sea of Galilee and doing that which he grew up doing and knew so well? Was it that he went there to maybe at the command of the Lord, according to Matthew 28 and 7? He says, when the Lord had risen from the dead, he said to the women, go quickly and tell the disciples that he was risen from the dead and that they shall meet me at Galilee. Were they going back to the place where they met the Lord the first time? Have you ever done that? Go back to that place. I remember in my study years ago coming to Abraham and finding that Abraham, when he came up out of Egypt, he went back to that place of the altar. He went back to where he started, really, when he came into the land and was established. Sometimes we need to do that. Had they gone back there in hopes that they would meet the Lord there? I'm not sure of all the reasons for that. I tend to think that perhaps they were there because they were hoping to see, yes, the Lord. They were hoping that maybe there would be another time that they would be ministered to. But in the meantime, they would not be idle. They would not be merely sitting around. They wouldn't sit behind locked doors as we had seen them before. Gathered together, they would be busy. They would be industrious, as it were. They would not be idle, but they would be together. And so that Peter would say, I go a-fishing. Now, I think more importantly, perhaps, than why they were there is why the Lord had them there and what the Lord was going to teach them, because it was an invaluable lesson. It is an essential lesson, and it is a lesson that you and I need to learn as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ if we are going to be fishers of men. So I asked one question with regards to our fellowship. What about fishing? I don't know. I know many of you very well, but I don't know anybody perhaps well enough to know if there are any avid fishers in the room. I expect there are. And how some people, you know, when that early morning comes on whatever day of the month, early in the spring it is, it's got to be the coldest, wettest day, I'm sure, and people will crawl out of bed before daylight and find themselves standing on a side of a brook fishing. I cannot even begin to imagine doing it. Don't ever ask me to go fishing with you. But what about fishers of men? So I ask you, what about your fellowship? What about fishers of men? Do you want to be a fisher of men? Do we want to be those who are not casual about our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not casual about the people that are going to hell? You remember the stories that we've all heard, read, or seen portrayed before us of those that are walking along life's broad road and there's coming to the end of the road and there's this precipice and they're dropping off. And then hearing of the individual who wants to be that missionary who stands on the precipice of hell, as it were, saving those who are dropping over the edge, guiding them, fishing, casting out the reel, casting out the net, changing the bait, changing how it goes. Not the gospel, not changing how one comes to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but maybe how they are attracted in some ways. Well, if we want to be fishers of men, and it's a solemn question, and you know, oftentimes, if you were to, I suppose, get me in a room and we were to sit one across from the other, and you were to say, listen, Grant, I'd really like to know, do you want to be a fisher of men? How many can guess my response? You see, I would say yes. I don't think any of us that would say no, we don't want to be a fisher of men, if we're a Christian. If we love the Lord Jesus Christ, if we know what we're saved from. Now, if you're not saved here this morning, or if you don't have an appreciation of what you've been saved from and the destitute state of those who are lost and dead in trespass and in sin, you may say, well, there's other things I'd rather do. But for the most part, we would all say, yeah, I want to be a fisher of men. Let's learn the lesson. Let's look at what's going to transpire. Because the Lord was a master teacher. He would take all of the practical realities of the world around him and he would apply them to the spiritual world at a glance. That's why these things are spiritually discerned. You see, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, the Word of God, it says, because they don't understand the spiritual life. They're dead. I mean, if you sit here this morning and you say, that guy is wacko, he has no idea what he's talking about, well, you may be right. But if you don't understand what the Word of God says and you don't come, the Spirit of God allow you to minister to you, you may want to check out whether you can spiritually discern them, whether you're spiritually alive, because they're spiritually discerned. And the Lord, as he taught these things, he would look around. You remember the parable of the sower in the field? I grew up at a farm. Now, I didn't plant things by hand very often. A few potatoes in the early days, but this was very, we would say, primitive. It was very basic planting. They would go out, and as we were in Israel, they showed us maybe the hillside where the Lord would plant these or see these sowers doing these things, and they'd be out there walking down the paths, and they'd be scattering the seed, and from the practical applications of those things, the Lord Jesus used and taught his disciples. Here he's going to use a boat. He's going to use men. He's going to use nets, and he's going to use a few fish. 153 to be exact, plus what he put on the fire. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord is so precise? How the Lord is so accurate. Now, in all of those things that the Lord's going to use, don't lose sight of the fact of one primary thing in all of the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord himself. He was there. He was teaching. And one of the primary lessons I think we need to find right here today is the Lord himself. In the fishing, in the feeding, in the following, all of these things. And for you who may be here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you need to find him by faith and put it into practice in your life. So fishing. They go a-fishing, and they went out, and we find that they entered into the ship, the practical thing to do. Lots of people fishing, and they went forth, and that night they caught nothing. Now these were not unskilled fishermen. Some of them, at least. They knew where to cast the net. They knew where the fish was running. They knew the good fishing spot. You know how the person who has the good fishing spot, they don't like to let anybody know where the good fishing spot is. They got the place. And they are pretty sure that with the right bait and the right time, I think that's why they all go in the dark. They all go down early in the morning so they can get to the spot and nobody can see them going. Let's not be like that in our fishing. You know a good spot to fish, men? Let others know. Let others know what bait's catching. Let others know so you know how to pray for those who are out fishing for men. But they caught nothing. And I think the practical reality of this and the practical lesson for us as we consider spiritual things is the uselessness of human effort alone. The Apostle Paul, that man who was so transformed by seeing and being ministered to by the Lord himself, understood the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Without me, you can do nothing. You see, our fishing for men, in and of ourselves, it's an impossible task. We are unable to do it. But Paul would say, when I am weak, then am I strong. My grace is sufficient for thee. With men, it is impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know, so it's possible. It's encouraging. As I look in a mirror, I suppose, this morning across the crowd, and you look at the Word of God as well, we find it's possible with God if we want to be fishers of men and do it the Lord's way. Well, he has to be involved. You remember the first account that we see of them fishing and how they had been fishing all night and they were cleaning their nets and the Lord took them out and he said, cast down your, throw your nets over. And Peter said, at thy word, Lord, I will let down the net. Not the nets. And the catch was so great that the net broke. They lost, I suppose, a fairly significant part of their catch that day, if not all of it, with that net. Here the Lord says, net. He's going to use just a single net. I'm not sure as I know the exact implication of that. But here they are. They had fished all night. They caught nothing. And morning was now come. Jesus stood on the shore. Is it possible that the Lord was not with them this time in the boat because he wanted us to realize that if the Lord, and I say this respectfully, is not in the boat with us, there will be difficulty in the fishing. Now we know and understand, I don't want to make that some strange saying. We understand, I trust, by the word of God that we are indwelt when we become believers by the Spirit of God. The Lord is in us. He dwells in us. He is pleased to dwell in us and to work out through us. In this case, and it was before Pentecost when the Spirit of God had come, the Lord is on the shore. And obviously the disciples seen the individual standing on the shore. It says in verse 4 there, the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. What hindered them? Was it the darkness? Morning is it can be a dark time. Was it spiritual eyesight? Had they grown so accustomed to maybe the Lord not being with them? The Lord is gone now and he's not with us, that they really just didn't recognize his form. They were unable to see. Did the Lord hinder, as on the road to Emmaus of those two disciples in Luke 24, had the Lord hindered their seeing? I don't know. But the one lesson I want to draw out of it for my own life and for your life is, do we see the Lord in our lives? Do we see the application, the Spirit of God trying to apply the Word of God to one's life? Do we see the will of God determined for us through the Word of God and then being obedient to it? Do you see the Lord? Now, I'm not talking about seeing the Lord standing there on the shore and some strange thing that you have a vision or something. I'm just talking, spiritual things. The Spirit of God working in your life. We find that sometimes, we study this on Wednesday night, there's difficulty in the life of the Christian. There's suffering. However we want to define that, how great or how small, there's persecution sometimes. Sometimes there's joy. And sometimes there's great success. You see the Lord in all of it in your life, in leading. Do you remember the servant of Abraham who was sent to find a bride for his son, Isaac? And when he came, Eliezer was it, when he came to the family, Laban and to Rachel's family, and he started to rehearse his journey, he would say, I being in the way, what? The Lord led me. You can't be led of the Lord if you're not in the way, and I don't mean stuck in the road. You certainly can't be led of the Lord until you're saved. You're led nothing by the Lord in regards to your life until you're saved. The leading he's doing is leading you to himself and to salvation. Jesus speaks. Children, wonderful relationship. Sons of God. Children of God. Sons, have you any meat? And they answered, no. Now I want to apply this both to saint and sinner. I want to apply this to the individual who is yet today without the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior in this way. The Lord was pointing to something in the lives of these individuals. They had been fishing all night and they had caught nothing. They had a need. If they were going to have either commerce to sell fish or food to eat when they got to the shore, they had to catch some fish. And so they had to recognize a need, or he wanted them to, certainly. In regards to your position before a holy God, you need to recognize something. And you need to realize and appreciate something that, as the Word of God says, you're lost and dead in trespass and in sin. You need to recognize that. The old adage or the old saying that a person can't be saved until they're lost is actually true. It's not just a saying, it's true. If you're not lost, you can't be found. The toughest place that a person who's a fisher of men, whether it's fishing from the platform or fishing from your office or wherever the case might be, from fishing to your neighbors over the fence in the backyard, is to get the fish lost so you can find them. Because you don't go fishing for fish in the superstore. those fish are already caught. But you know the fish, spiritual things, the fish that says, I'm fine, I'm okay, I'm just going to swim around in my nice little cool pool here. They won't be found, but they'll still be lost. So do you recognize your own need before a holy God? That you need to be saved, that you need your sins forgiven, that you need a relationship with the God of heaven, and the only way to do that is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust you do. And Saint, do you recognize your need? Have you any fish or meat? How would you answer? In a spiritual way. Do you have any needs? Boys, I'll tell you, I've got lots. When I am weak, then am I strong. The Lord wanted them to understand that without Him, they could do nothing. May we never find ourselves as believers trying to stand in our own strength, but rather yet, in the strength of the Lord. We must go on. They answered and said, no, there was no fish. They had not caught any that evening. And He said unto them, and notice throughout this passage the many times He uses the plural. Again, that idea of fellowship, that group, 8 times at least it's used in this passage. He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and ye shall find. Now, if I was in that ship, and I was Peter, primarily, because I've been thinking about Peter lately, I'd be saying, boy, this sounds real familiar. This is something that goes back, you know, about 3 years ago. This thing was kind of happening all before again. I'd fished all night. I'd been cleaning my nets. And the Lord came along and we caught some fish. The Lord's starting to reveal Himself. And He's starting to reveal Himself right where Peter was. He's using this simple lesson. One person has said that Christ manifests Himself by doing what no one else can do. And certainly there's no one else can save you but the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as a saint or a sinner, sometimes there's things that become very familiar, right? Maybe you're sitting here as an unbeliever in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You're saying, I've heard this all before. You know, in fact, I could probably share much of what that guy's sharing myself because I've heard it so much. I remember an individual, a good friend of mine, who would say at one point he would preach the gospel to those who were unsaved while he was yet unsaved. Knowing it so well. But you know, that individual came to a recognition that because he knew it, didn't mean that he was a recipient of it. And then there's the other individual who says, yeah, it's all new. It's all the same thing. And just slowly start to tune oneself out. You know, tell us something new. Tell us something different. Tell us something to excite us. Well, I'm not sure if How to Be Saved doesn't excite you, what would excite you? But it's not entertainment, it's rather a call. It's rather a desire to see the individual recognize where they're at and to not become complacent. You know, we heard last week again, if you were here, which probably most in this auditorium were here last week, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Don't become familiar with the things, dear. We apply it to the sinner in regards to salvation. We apply it to you and I as well. Not that God's Spirit will cease to strive with us, but that we don't want to harden ourselves to these things. We want to respond in action by what God is saying. Peter didn't say, well, you know, I did this before. You know, I threw the net over before. He immediately responds, this group. It says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw in for the multitude of fishes. You see, when the Lord directs our service, when the Lord directs our desires, and when the Lord is listened to and obeyed, there will be there won't be any empty nets. Now, that doesn't mean that now we're all equipped to go out and to see hundreds of thousands of people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. If we're fishing for men, maybe that will be your experience. Fish are usually caught one by one. That's the norm. But when the Lord's in it, and we're fishing for men, you may not see the fish in the end of your hook. You may be part of that group, that seven disciples or more that are fishing for men. Think of the work at camp. There's people in this building who've never set foot, I suppose, on the grounds at Emmanuel Bible Camp. And yet they're ministers and workers together because they either support it, they pray for it, or they enable someone else to go, whatever the case might be. And that's workers together. And think of the multiplication. There was an individual I heard of a while ago, and I may have mentioned it to you already. He had spent years passing out tracts in this one little section of this town in Australia. Never to have seen a soul come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when in fact, at the end of his life, he came to understand there were thousands. Maybe not as a direct result of that tract, but maybe of the individual who received the tract, and they went on to give somebody else a tract, who went on to give someone else a tract, and we know how the multiplication factor works, and people were being gloriously saved. If the Lord's in it, if we listen, you see, it was where the Lord said, he didn't say throw the net out in the water anywhere. It's one of the applications of fishing. Find out where the fish are. Use the right bait. You know, the Spirit of God is dealing with people to be saved, and that's the only way people can be saved, is through the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. We can argue with someone whom the Spirit of God is not working with till the cows come home, and they are not moved. Maybe later, but look for fish that are biting, so to speak. Cast the net on the right side of the ship, you'll find, and they did. They were able to drag it to shore. Verse 7, and this will probably have to be the last of our consideration here, these last few verses. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved, that is John, who is the writer of these words, he said it's the Lord. The Lord was recognized. The Lord was manifested in doing only what he could do. They understood it's the Lord on the shore. Now, I just love the response of Peter. He could have waited in the boat till the boat sailed ashore. Where they pushed and waded, however deep the water was, I don't know. 100, 300 feet out, it was probably some deep water. Peter may not have been the first one to recognize the Lord. But notice what he did. When he did understand it was the Lord. It says that he put his fisher's coat around him because he'd gotten his clothes off, his outer clothes off, to do some work. This was work. He girded his coat around him and he plunged himself into the water because the only place he wanted to be was where the Lord was. Now, when you think of where Peter had been, and maybe we'll consider that a little this evening, when we think of this fire of coals, and the words of Luke 24 where it says, go and tell the others that the Lord is alive and has appeared unto Peter. When you think of the fact that Peter had forsaken the Lord three times and the Lord told him he would and the Lord knew it and he did it. The Lord had met him. There'd obviously been a forgiveness and understanding of the Lord to Peter there. And Peter was forgiven. I would think I'd be pretty sheepish of coming alongside the Lord. But the wonderful words of the writer here himself through the Spirit of God in his epistle, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that is spoken to the believer, and there's fellowship, and Peter longed to fellowship with his Savior. He may not have been the best educated. He may not have even been the best fisherman. But where the Lord was when he knew it, that's where he wanted to be. We want to be good fishermen. We want to be fishers of men. Follow the Lord closely. Listen. Obey. And do those things which you are asked to do. Some, we're all asked to do different things. Let's not be lookers one at another. And that's going to come up later in the passage. Don't you be looking at me at what I'm doing necessarily. I'm not going to be looking at you at what you're doing. I'm going to be praying for you and what you're doing. But that's what the Lord's calling you to do. Don't you do what you're asked to do. And I'll do what I'm asked to do. I trust. And together, we'll be fishers of men. We may not see the increase. We may not be right there when it all takes place. Sow the seed, water the seed, and allow God to have the increase. May God grant us. Remember a gentleman years ago. We were traveling with him in a country in regards to his work there in the gospel. And he said, I can't even vacation in the country. And he put it something like this. He said, when I go on vacation, I have to leave the country because I have such a desire, a passion, and a burden from the Lord to see people in this country saved. He said, I have to get out. May God grant you and me that desire. Maybe not for Charlottetown, maybe not for maybe not for North America, maybe not for Canada, maybe not for PEI, maybe not even for Charlottetown. Would to God there would be one. Start with one in our heart. Maybe there is. And to move out. Maybe God has given you a burden for North America. Praise the Lord. Maybe for the world. Praise the Lord. Whatever it is, listen, obey, and follow. May God bless his word to us this morning. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, again, we bow. We offer thanksgiving for your goodness to us and for the word of God. And Lord, we just pray that you would use it by the Spirit of God in each of our lives. That we, Father, may be fishers of men. Lord, that you would use us. We can all pray. Our Father, we can all do this and to be involved in the work. Others you have called maybe to a time in another country or to evangelistic work of some sort. May each individual, as they are called, follow. And Father, may we be sensitive to the dying souls around us. And Father, for those who may be in this auditorium this morning without Christ, Lord, may some of this bait not fall upon deaf ears. May it not be something that, yeah, we've heard before and we'll leave it where it was the last time. Rather yet, they will listen to the Spirit of God and through the Word of God be gloriously saved that they too may become a fisher of men. We thank you, our Father, for these wonderful truths that we have found in your Word, and we give you thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.